Welcome, Crawford Faith Family. Pastor Jay here. It's good to be able to come here to record this sermon for you today. And I pray that it will find you and your family well. And I do ask for your prayers as we and all other churches in our nation and many around the world are facing this pandemic, as it's been called by our leaders and those who are leaders of the nations of the world. But I am thankful that you're taking time to tune in and by way of YouTube or the church website to worship with us in this temporary way. Nothing could ever replace the gathered church. The Bible is very clear about that. But during these difficult days, this is where we are. And thank God for the technology that we have available to be able to gather online, as it were. But this is not church, but it helps us get through these days. I know I miss you. I'm sure many of you miss your community group and the gathered worship and the choir and all the things that we're accustomed to here at Crawford Baptist Church. But thank you for your patience, and we ask you to continue to pray with us that God would work in and through this pandemic, and that we would see His will done and people saved. And thank God that we can instruct one another through the means of technology that we have available today. I'd like to begin today by bowing in prayer, as we typically do here at Crawford Baptist Church. And again, thank you for joining. I invite you to bow your head with me there as you watch this worship gathering today. And we turn it into one as you gather with your family to worship the Lord in your home. But let's pray today. Father in heaven, we do come before your holy presence. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the technology that you have enabled men and women to develop and create and to distribute. And Lord, today we're able to produce this sermon on video, which can be shown on our church website at crawfordbaptist.net and on YouTube, and people can share these things. And Lord, we're grateful that we can be encouraged biblically during these days as we battle this pandemic together and seek to honor those in authority over us. And Father, as we come into your holy presence today, we ask you, God, to grant us mercy, forgiveness for our sins. And Father, we pray that you will forgive the sins of this nation, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, to have mercy upon us, Lord, that you would shine down your saving power, Lord, through the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that you would move mightily amongst your people. God, I pray that churches will not grow weaker during this international crisis, this pandemic, but Lord, that we would gather in our homes with our families and in our neighborhoods in appropriate ways that honor our governing officials' request, Lord, and in many places, mandates and laws even, Lord. But we pray that you would strengthen your church during these days. Father, we're thankful that we're not limited, God, to a building. The church has never been limited by a building throughout our history, Lord. So help us today as we gather in our little units, in our little family groups to worship you, Lord. And so, Father, today we pray for our president and our vice president, for our Congress. We pray, God, for our nation. We pray for the health care system. Father, today we pray for those that are sick with the coronavirus, the flu, the influenza, and other diseases, and those who have compromised immune systems. God, we pray for these that are highly at risk, Lord. Our hearts go out to these people. We pray for healing, God. Lord, how we pray that you would heal people around this world who suffer from this disease and others as well. We pray, God, that you will be glorified, Lord, in and through all of this. And God, we know you will, because this did not catch you off guard. It caught us and the world off guard. But Lord, the Holy Trinity never meets in emergency session. And so, God, you are sovereign and you are all-knowing and you're everywhere present. And Lord, you work all things together for good for those who love you, to those who've been called according to your purpose. And so, God, we pray for healing. We pray for strengthening. We pray that you would bless the church. Help your church, Lord. Help your church rise up in strength and not in fear during this time. May we minister to one another, to those loved ones and neighbors that are in need during this time. Help us to care for the elderly and the sick, Lord, during this time. May the body of Christ truly be the body of Christ, be the church during this time. And so, Father, we pray for all of these requests. And Father, I do pray for our people group of the day, Lord. I pray for the Rathiya people in India today. Father, there's so many people groups in India that are unreached. And God, we pray for them today. 681,000 of these people, and Lord, not a one are believed to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, shrouded in spiritual darkness, Lord, driven by fear, God, we pray that you would save people in the Raithea people group, Lord, today. God, send missionaries and Christians into this area. Help, Lord, the Raithias to hear the gospel and respond to the gospel. And Father, I pray for your help as I endeavor to preach your word today. Father, I know that I am a man who needs you. And Lord Jesus, apart from you, I can do nothing. And so right now, Lord, I ask for your help. And Father, I ask you to empower me and work powerfully within me, as Colossians 1 teaches that you do. And I trust you, Lord. I trust that you're going to act through this preaching moment today. I pray, God, that you will save people. I pray that you would edify and build up the body of Christ, that you would help again strengthen your church for these days in which we find ourselves as salt and light in this hurting world. And we love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we continue our series, 2020 Vision, Focus on the Family, today we are going to be back in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to begin reading in chapter 5 and take us down to chapter 6 where we are, just to remind us where we've been in recent weeks. And please remember that these messages are available to you on our church website. They're also available on YouTube. If you have missed a message or would like to hear one again, we are looking at 2020 Vision for the year 2020, but our focus is on the family. And so this morning, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read our verses from chapter 5, verse 15, down into chapter 6, where we're going to be in our message this morning. I do want to say, parents, please, if you have children there in your home with you, today is the day to be sure that you begin family worship, because the heart of this message, the core of this message, the big idea of this message is that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so this is a great day to, if you have not in the past, today is a great day to begin family worship around this video. And as we read these scriptures, help your children. Know they're going to squirm and wiggle. That's fine. I always learned as a youth pastor that they did catch more than I ever thought they really did. And so just have the children there, and we have a word from God for our children today in a special, special way. But let's begin in Ephesians 5, verse 15. The Apostle Paul has written these words. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. It is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And now our text for this message today. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you'll remember from last week's message, this was our memory verse for last week. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Our memory verses for this week are Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. So look there in your Bibles and follow along with me as we seek now to commit Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 to our memory as well. I don't think they'll be that hard for us at all. They kind of flow beautifully in this passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. May God bless the reading of His Word. And let's remember, Faith Family, that our memory verses as a church Faith Family for this week will be Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. If you want to get a little bit ahead, next week's verse will be Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, as we unpack the powerful truths about parenting and family worship in earnest next week. But today, I want to speak especially to our children, to our boys and girls and their parents, of course. But the Scripture really assumes that children would have been in the worship gathering of the church there in Ephesus and in our churches. And so children are to honor and obey their parents in the Lord. So boys and girls, we need to listen up today. We have important Scripture to consider and discuss together today, and you are right at the target of the message today. And boys and girls, I want to tell you that God loves you, that God created you in His own image. Boys and girls, the Bible teaches that you were created by God in His own image. In fact, in Psalm 139, listen to these verses. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Just listen to these beautiful verses. This is David writing, and David writes, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And we see in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, how beautiful it is, this truth, that you were created by God. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, you belong to God. You were created in His image, and so therefore you belong to God. And that is a beautiful truth to wrap our hearts and minds around as we study God's Word today. But not only were you created by God so you belong to Him, you are also responsible to God. And so therefore you are accountable to Him. And so you were made, created by God, and you are to glorify God in your life. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, "So then, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So we eat for the glory of God, amen? And we read and study and we do our schoolwork online or the packets that have been sent home with you for this season. We do that for the glory of God. We play ball when we can, amen, for the glory of God. But we're to do everything that we do to bring honor and praise to our Heavenly Father who created us. Boys and girls, you were created in the very image of God. God has a beautiful plan for your life. You were created by Him. You belong to Him. You are responsible to Him. Listen, you will give an account of yourself to Him and how you have glorified Him in your life. And the message today centers upon that beautiful truth right there. And boys and girls, I want to say, I pray that you will grow up with a holy, holy ambition, a holy desire, boys and girls. I pray that as you girls play with dolls, many of you play with dolls. I know my daughter just turned 10. She still loves playing with her dolls. She has more dolls than I can name. But she plays with dolls today. She loves helping her mama work in the kitchen some and help clean up around the house at times. But one day, little girls, you'll be handling those babies that God grants you through birth or adoption or foster care. You'll be feeding and taking care of your own family. And little guys out there this morning, as we think about God and His Word in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, as you play with trucks and you play army and do different things, and you're riding that skateboard or riding that bike up and down the street, and you're pretending to be doing this or that, driving trucks, one day you'll be driving trucks of love to help feed needy people. One day, instead of playing ball on a ball field somewhere, you'll be engaged in a real battle, the battle of getting the gospel to the unreached peoples of this world. You'll be engaged in fighting for injustice in this world. You'll want to see justice rather than injustice in this world. And so, boys and girls, you've been created by God. And you belong to God. And you have been made in His image. And we're to honor God. We're to glorify God in all that we do. But you know, one problem we all have is the sin problem. And you see, boys and girls, what you need more than anything else during this pandemic of the coronavirus or at any other time or whatever else may come in the future to us and at us, you need a relationship with God that can only come about through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your greatest need that you have is to trust in Jesus Christ, who died for sinners like you, receiving the punishment that sinners like you and I deserved. You see, Jesus Christ died in our place. And we should have been on that cross, but instead Jesus took our place so that we could be made right with God. We can be forgiven of our sins. We call this the good news. We call this the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, boys and girls, this morning, if you are listening to this sermon, and I hope you are. The greatest need you have today is to have a relationship with God that is only found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself defined eternal life in John chapter 17 and verse 3. And Jesus said this, "And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent." And so the heart of salvation is not a get out of hell free card, or walk an aisle, or sign a card, or raise a hand. We can't even do those things during this pandemic. Does that mean you can't be saved? Well, of course not. Being saved is when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's when your dad and your mom explain the truths of Scripture to you. They read the verses of the Bible to you, which tell us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that there's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible tells us that God shows His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible teaches, for the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from the love and grace and mercy of God. But the free gift is eternal life, that relationship with God. How? Through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 6:23. And that if you will believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and call upon Him, then you will be saved. Romans 10:9 says, "For everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Romans 10:13. Well, Pastor Jay, how do I, as a little guy or a little gal, how do I get faith? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." That would be the Bible, the Word of God. And so the more your mom and dad read the Word of God to you, as they begin to engage in family worship, which we're going to study in more detail next message, next week, they will understand better. You can understand better. But the way one is saved is by hearing the truth of God from His Word. And we believe that truth. And God the Holy Spirit does a work within us called regeneration. And we are made into new creations in Christ Jesus. And so, boys and girls, I pray for God to save you. We've been praying for you, boys and girls at Crawford, from when we found out that your mom and dad were expecting a child. We pray for God in His time, and in His way, according to His sovereign plan, to save the children of this faith family. So we've been praying for you for a long time, and our prayer is that you will find rest and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I mean, the Apostle Paul has said in Ephesians chapter 2, you might want to flip a page and you can see Ephesians 2. It's right in our book of Ephesians there, Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 8, Paul says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And it's not your own doing, right? It's the gift of God. Look there in your Bible. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This is what the Apostle Paul says. You see, we cannot earn our own salvation. We receive salvation by faith. And the faith is a gift from God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Jesus has done all the work for us, so believe in Jesus Christ, turn from your sins, and be saved. Boys and girls, one way you can honor that memory verse that you've been working on this week, and I am pretty sure parents have been having our boys and girls and our sons and daughters work on this verse this week. This is one of our favorite verses in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen, one way, boys and girls, you can glorify God is by obeying and honoring your parents in the Lord. So when your dad and when your mom are teaching you and instructing you and coaching you about things in life, how to do this subject at school, how to make your bed, how to ride a bike, how to clean up, how to be nice to your brother, how to be nice to your sister, as your parents are teaching and coaching you in life, God's word, boys and girls, says that you are to obey and honor them. I want to break that down. Number one, you honor your parents with your attitude. You honor your parents with your attitude. You see, you don't honor your parents when you huff and puff when they tell you to do something, or when you stomp your feet. That's not honoring your parents. When you pout or when you talk back to your parents, you're not honoring your parents. And we need to understand, boys and girls, that when you dishonor your mom and dad, your parents, you're also dishonoring and disobeying God. This is what this verse teaches. You see, the right attitude behind the right act of obedience, that's what honor is. The right attitude behind the right act of obedience, that's what honor is. And that word in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, obey your parents, it means to hear under. So listen closely to them. In verse 2, it says to honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And that word honor literally means to value highly. It means to hold in the highest regard and the highest respect. And that is what God commands you to do. And so one way, boys and girls, that you glorify God in your life as a son or a daughter is to honor your parents with your attitude. You see, when God gave the Ten Commandments to His people at Mount Sinai, do you know that the first human relationship mentioned in the Ten Commandments is commandment number 5, where God Himself says to His people, honor your father and your mother. That's in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Did you know it was a capital offense back in the days of the Old Testament? If you physically or verbally abused your parents, you can check that out. It's in Exodus chapter 21, verses 15 and 17. I mean, children could actually be severely disciplined, even to the point of being executed because of their dishonoring of their parents, either verbally or physically. You know, in our nation today, in the United States of America, there are 8 million reported assaults that are made by children in our nation on their parents every year. It just shows us how we are not following the biblical prescription for marriage and for parenting and for instructing our children in the ways of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. And you can honor your parents by having a godly, good attitude. That is so critical and so important. And you'll find that command five other times in the New Testament. Kind of summing up for us, boys and girls, I would say this: respect your parents. Love your parents. Honor your parents. A child that grows up that does not honor and respect their parents will likely not honor and respect anyone else either. So, boys and girls, number one, honor your parents with your attitude. That is that's that heart condition that you have as you do what they instruct you and command you to do. But number two, not only, boys and girls, do you honor your parents with your attitude, but number two, you obey your parents with your actions. You see, the word obey, as I mentioned in chapter 6, verse 1, look there in your Bible. Check it out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That little word obey is really two little Greek words that come together. And really, it's a word and a preposition. It means to hear under. Dr. John MacArthur says it means to listen with attentiveness and do what they say. The word obey means to listen with attentiveness. That is, you pay attention to dad and mom when they're instructing you and telling you what you need to do for your own good and for the glory of God. You listen carefully with attentiveness and you do what they say. You hear what they say. You do what they say. That is obedience. And it's what they say, when they say it, and with that right attitude. For example, if your parents say, I want you to make up your bed. How many of you have ever heard that? I want you to make up your bed. I'll come inspect it. And you just sit there. Is that obedience or is that disobedience? I see that hand. Yes, that's exactly right. That is disobedience. If you get up off the floor or slip out of the chair where you were, or put down the remote to your Xbox, and then you walk to your room, but you're kicking your feet along the ground, huffing and puffing, stomping your feet, is that true obedience, even though you go and make your bed up, or not? Well, you're not honoring your dad or your mom by doing it that way. You see, true obedience is doing what your dad and mom tells you to do, and doing it when they tell you to do it. They don't have to count to three, and then you do it. That's delayed obedience, which is disobedience. So we're to do what we're supposed to do. We do what they say, when they say, and with the right attitude. And that's how it is. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Listen to this one. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So, do you want to please the Lord, boys and girls? Do you want to please the Lord? Yes, I thought you did. All right, we want to please the Lord. Deep in our hearts, we kind of want to do that. We don't want to be wrong with God, right? So you want to please the Lord, then obey your parents. Obeying your parents is the one way you can obey the Lord. Because listen, boys and girls, when you disobey mom and dad and when you disrespect mom and dad, you are disobeying God and dishonoring God as well. We must never forget that. But here's the real deal. Here's the real deal. Boys and girls, I know you have a hard time obeying and respecting your dad and your mom. And you say, oh, no, preacher, Pastor Jay, I don't have a hard time obeying and respecting my dad and my mom. I don't. Well, because of the Bible, I know that we all do. I did. Your dad and mom did when they were growing up. And if we're going to be biblically honest, you have a hard time obeying and respecting and honoring your parents the way that God commands us to obey, respect, and honor our parents. And so when you do not obey, you need to remember, boys and girls, that Jesus Christ died for sinners who disobey God. And boys and girls, when the Holy Spirit works, as you continually hear the teaching of the Word of God, as your dad takes that Bible and reads passages of Scripture to you, as you go back over this sermon and think about the questions that will be posted on the Crawford Facebook page to help you think more deeply about this sermon, as you consider the Word of God, as you hear the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit works in your mind and your heart, that core of who you are, and you realize, you're convicted, I'm a sinner. I see it. I'm a sinner. I have sinned against God, and I've sinned against Dad, and I've sinned against Mom. When you realize that you're a sinner, when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see that, and you acknowledge your guilt before God, and that you need to be forgiven by God, then what do? Boys and girls, you turn from your sin, and you cry out, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Faith comes through hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. For everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so you turn to Christ. You trust in Christ, the one who obeyed the Heavenly Father perfectly, because you and I have not obeyed the Heavenly Father perfectly. And can I tell you a secret? Your dad and your mom haven't either. I keep saying that because that's the biblical truth. And we need to understand it. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. But Jesus obeyed the Heavenly Father perfectly, so Jesus can forgive us of our sin. Jesus can cleanse us completely from our sin. Jesus can give you a new heart, a new desire that will lead you to desire to please God and to honor and respect and obey your parents. So boys and girls, you see, we all struggle with it. That's the real deal. Now, parents, let me say a word to you for a moment. Parents, now we know that we do not have to teach our children disobedience. Dr. Vody Balcom has called little ones their vipers in diapers. Every little one, every beautiful, cute, wrinkly, cuddly, crying all through the night, all of those things, a lot of it's cute. A lot of it's not cute, isn't it? But the reality is we love those little ones. Aren't you glad God made them small? That way, you know, they can't kill us. And God made them cute. That way we don't seek to kill them. But when you think about biblical theology, we realize that our boys and girls are all born with a sin nature. And we don't have to teach our children disobedience. Instead, they're going to do that naturally. As I have said on many occasions in different teaching situations, you know, I have never bitten my wife. And so my children who bit one another, and there was one of our two that was more of a biter than the other. In fact, one never bit and one did. You'll have to guess which is which. You'll probably guess correctly, but it's okay. By grace, they are saved. Amen. But, you know, my children never observed me bite my wife, and then they say, hey, I'm going to go bite my sibling, because they're not really giving me that truck like I want, or handing me that doll like I want, or they're not doing what I'm saying, so I'm going to bite them. They never learned that from me. I've never bitten my wife, their mother, right? I have never, when my wife said, Jay, you cannot have those Pringles, I am sorry. You've had heart surgery. You can't have those Pringles. Put those back up. It's just for your own good. My children have never seen me lie down in the aisle of Walmart and kick and scream with my feet in the air, my hands going up in the air like that, having a temper tantrum in the middle of Walmart. But I've seen many, many children do that throughout the years, and my own children have done that at times. And we've had to apply biblical correction to that. You see, we do not have to teach our children to lie or to cheat or to steal. We never have to teach them disobedience, parents. We have to teach them obedience. And so, parents, we need then to define obedience. And parents, I would say here, if our children are to obey you as verse 1 commands them to do. We need to define obedience. We need to set the boundary markers clearly. We must, as parents, and it is the parents' responsibility, dad and mom, it is your primary responsibility to train and teach your children what is right and what is wrong on the basis of the Word of God. So we must define obedience for our children. Number two, parents, we need to demand obedience. So why do we teach our children to obey us? Why would we teach our children to obey us? Well, again, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, hello, gives us a clue. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, every parent knows this verse, whether you know this verse or not. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know it? I mean, Jeremiah 17, 9 teaches that we all come into this world with a sin nature. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51, verse 5. And so our children are born with a sin nature, a predisposition bent toward disobedience. Every child has a sin nature in rebellion against God. You see, parents, their rebellion is not just primarily against you. It is also against God Himself. In fact, I want you to look with me quickly in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I want us to look at these verses because these are so foundational, and you can actually go over these later on with your children as you continue some family worship during the week. Romans chapter 3, I want to pick up reading in verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans chapter 3 verses 9 through 18 teach us what we call the doctrine of total depravity. You see, sin has affected every part of who we are, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We are thoroughly impacted by the virus of sin. Yes, the coronavirus, this pandemic, obviously, it is spreading rapidly through nations around the world and through our own nation, our own state. But I'm going to tell you, there is also the virus of sin that is born into every human being who comes into this world. We are born with that sin virus, and the only cure for that is Jesus Christ. And so Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18 clearly teaches that we all need a Savior. We all need righteousness before our holy God. We're all accountable to God. Romans 3, 19 teaches that the whole world is accountable to our Creator God. So parents, we need to define obedience. Set those boundaries clearly. Teach our children this is right and this is wrong because God's Word says so. Number two, we need to demand obedience from our children. Number three, parents, we need to develop obedience. Develop obedience. And what I mean by that is we need to create a home environment where we expect, strongly encourage, and reward obedience. Why? For this is right in the eyes of God and on the basis of the Word of God. Number three, we need to develop obedience. We create a home environment where obedience is strongly desired to be pursued by our children. There are two ways we can do that. There's positive reinforcement, amen? And we like positive reinforcement. So obedience should be expected. Obedience should be praised. When they do obey, we ought to say a good word. Say, good job, man. Way to go, sister. Awesome work. Good job. God's pleased with that. Dr. James Dobson has said in one of his books, can't remember which one, Dr. James Dobson has said that for every one rebuke we give our child, we ought to give them seven words of encouragement. For every one rebuke, we give seven words of encouragement. of encouragement. And so obedience should be expected, parents, in our homes. And obedience should be praised when it takes place, when they do respond as they biblically are to do. And obedience should be rewarded. Even in the scriptures, we are rewarded by obeying Jesus. And so there's nothing wrong, parents, with having rewards when our children are consistently obedient in some areas. It doesn't mean with everything they do, they get a little bag of goldfish every time they obey your command. But it is good to treat them every now and then. The Bible teaches rewards, and I think that's a good thing for us as parents to consider as well. So obedience should be expected. It should be praised. It should be rewarded. That's the positive reinforcement, parents, as we develop obedience in our home. And by the way, it's a process. And it can change moment by moment, can it, parents? Boys and girls, you know this too. One minute, you're sitting there drinking lemonade and eating goldfish and having a great time on the Xbox, and the next minute, the world has changed. Probably because of an attitude or an action. And they do go together. But there's positive reinforcement, parents. But there's also, to be biblically speaking, painful reinforcement. You see, parents, we must teach our children that there are painful consequences for disobedience. There are painful consequences for disobedience. Now, that may be a verbal rebuke where we just speak to them and rebuke them verbally with our words. It could be a warning. It could be a loss of privileges. And biblically speaking, it can also be a spanking, not done in anger or wrath, but done in a biblically appropriate, God-honoring way. But we are to define obedience, demand obedience, and develop obedience in our home. You see, it's difficult, boys and girls, obeying. Parents, we have that responsibility to help guide and train our children to be the godly man and the godly woman that God desires them to be. But I want to say, parents, I've already mentioned how we as boys and girls have failed, and we do. Parents, as we're honest with God and with one another and with our children today, we know we fail in our parenting as well. As I said in last week's message, failing as a parent doesn't mean you're a bad parent. It just means you need a Savior. It means you need God's grace. I think that when we fail to obey as parents, we need to reclaim Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. If you'll go back to our primary text in Ephesians, and you can look there at Ephesians 5, 18. Paul says, do not get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. But what? But be filled or controlled with the Holy Spirit. And so for us to be godly parents, we have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18. Boys and girls, when you fail in obeying and honoring and respecting your parents, then we as parents need to point you to the gospel, to remind you that we all sin. Those verses we read in Romans 3, 9 through 18, those verses are true of all of us, how we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. You see, it's by the Holy Spirit that we obey. It is, we receive the Holy Spirit by believing on Jesus Christ in faith. And so only by the Holy Spirit's work within us can real transformation take place. And that is biblically what we are seeking more than anything else. Not just outward conformity to a law, but an inward change of our hearts. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so as we conclude today, I really want to conclude with two questions in this message, boys and girls. And you're doing really good. You're paying good attention. And I appreciate it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why should I as a child obey my parents? Why should I obey dad and mom? Well, look in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? The Bible says, for this is right. You see, Dr. John MacArthur said it this way. The basic reason for children to obey and honor their parents is simply that it's right. The rightness is not based on sociological analysis or psychological case studies or any other human theory that we might propose. But rightness is based on God's standard of right. God's declaration makes it right. God simply saying it in Scripture makes it right, makes it just, makes it a righteous, just, correct declaration. It's just as it ought to be. And so it's just proper and right for children to obey dad and mom, those whom God has put over them for this season of their life. So why should you obey your mom and dad? Because it's right. And the second concluding question is this: why should I honor my parents? Well, if you look for a moment in verses 2 and 3, God gives us here a motivating promise. If you look at verses 2 and 3, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Look at verse 3 now. Let's hone in on verse 3. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. You see, there are two things here God promises. It'll go well with you, and you will live long in the land. Now, when God originally gave this promise to the children of Israel there in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5:16, he's talking, of course, to the Israelites and about going into the promised land. And if you will obey your parents, and by obeying your parents, you're obeying me, then it's going to go well for you. It's going to be a good life. And you'll live long in the land. But you see, by application here in Ephesians, he's speaking to us as followers of Christ today. And he's saying that there will be blessing for you if you will honor your father. And notice he says, and mother. That's very important. We honor both father and mother, both dad and mom. Both are critical in God's plan of raising a family. So there will be blessing for you, and there will be safekeeping for you as you honor and obey your dad and your mom. You see, when a child dishonors his parents, that child is endangering himself. But what God is saying in Ephesians 6:3 is this: there are great spiritual blessings that come to children who obey God's word, who honor and obey their father and their mother in the Lord. And so, boys and girls, today, the big idea of this sermon is that children are to honor and obey their parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. But we all struggle with sin. Your dad does, your mom does, your brother does. You knew that, didn't you? Your sister does. You knew that too, didn't you? You see, we all struggle with sin. But God, in His sovereign plan, in His great mercy, before time began and already planned it out, and in when the fullness of time had come, the Bible says He sent forth His own Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem a people for Himself. And boys and girls and dads and moms, and everyone who may be listening, watching this sermon today, the hope in the midst of this pandemic of sin, which is one out of one dies. You see, the wages of sin is death for everybody. It's not the coronavirus or the influenza or the Spanish fever that hit back in 1918. Or you can do your historical research. It's not those things that really kill us. It is our sin that kills us. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, boys and girls, as I speak and conclude our sermon today, as the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see and understand biblical truth, as the Holy Spirit enables your mind to understand and comprehend. I've sinned. I'm a sinner before God and before my dad, my mom. I need forgiveness. When you truly understand that, that is God at work in your life. You see, God the Father and God the Son have sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so today may be your day. As God opens your eyes, as God works in your heart, God gives you that desire within to cry out to Him, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Change me. Again, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God shows, demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That if you'll believe, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So my prayer today, as we conclude this sermon, that you will search your hearts, parents. Are you born again? Are you walking with the Lord? Boys and girls, my prayer for you is search your heart. Do you understand the gospel? Maybe for the first time in your life, you understand the gospel. And you've heard it if you've been at Crawford. The gospel is the good news. Not bad news. The gospel is the good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people. And He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear His wrath against our sin on the cross and to show His power over sin by resurrecting Jesus' dead body from the grave so that everyone who turns from their sin, that's repentance, and believes in Him, in Christ, that's faith, will be reconciled, made right with God forever. That is my prayer for you. Let me pray as we conclude the message. Father, thank You for our time in Your Word today in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Father, I pray that You will help boys and girls hear and heed, obey, honor, and respect their parents. And Father, even more importantly, I pray that You would help boys and girls who are able to understand, comprehend the gospel because the Holy Spirit is at work. Father, You're drawing them unto Yourself. I pray that boys and girls would be saved, born again, adopted into God's forever family. I pray that parents would understand the clear biblical gospel and, Lord, be saved today. Oh, God, work. Save parents. Save men, women. Save young people. Save boys and girls, I pray, oh, God. And help them, Lord, connect with their church. If it be not Crawford, may they connect with a pastor in a church and get helpful information and be guided in their walk with You. Because eternal life is that we know intimately You, Father, and Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. So thank You for this technology. Thank You for this time together in the Word. And God, I pray that You will bless all who've heard it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we conclude our message today, I do want to just remind you, and you have been so faithful and so good, to remember your local church during this time of pandemic and global crisis. But if you're wondering, what can I do? Number one, you can pray. Pray for those in your community group. Maybe connect by Zoom link and get together as community groups by using Zoom technology or on the phone or through texting. So pray for your community group. Pray for your church. Pray for our nation. Pray for our world that is in desperate need of God's grace and God's touch during these days. And please remember the needs of your local church, in this case, Crawford Baptist Church. If you're a member here, we encourage you, if you're a member of another local church, just catching this sermon, tuning in, caught us by chance, so to speak, from our perspective, let me remind you, please support your local church. If you are a Crawford Baptist Church member, you can mail in your tithes, offering, building fund gifts, mission gifts, other gifts into the church at 3000 Sun Valley Drive, Mobile, Alabama, here at the church campus. Please mail that in. You can also give easily online and using the Easy Tithe app as well. So again, thank you for your faithfulness. And until we're able to meet again, may God richly bless you. Amen.